Hello and welcome to our LDSWBR 2012 LDS Storymakers Sum Up podcast. I don't even know what to call this. We could call this Season 6, Episode 2.
Yes.
Since we have a Whitney Award special edition that's going to come out, or what may have come out already whenever this gets posted. So we'll call this Season 6, Episode 2. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're actually going to just briefly summarize some of the classes we took and briefly talk about what we got from those classes. We don't want to spoil any future classes you might attend or break any copyright laws. So we'll just talk about what we mostly got out of the class, and we'll just go around the table. Mindy and Sheila are here with me. Say hi, girls.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, so the first class that I took, of course, we started out Thursday. Sheila and I were at boot camp.
Yeah, it was so much fun. I learned a tremendous amount of things at boot camp.
I just hung outside the door. But you actually were in boot camp.
I was. I was actually there at the story, and I was at a table with author Rebecca Talley, and she is phenomenal as far as being a boot camp teacher or leader. And I just learned so many things from her that are going to be so helpful in working on my manuscript. So,
yeah, it was kind of fun to hang out beforehand, before the whole main conference started, and go to dinner at La Dolce Vita, which we totally
took over.
Yeah, we did take over. There were seriously so many people. There's a post on the blog, ldswbr.com. Go check it out. You'll see the pictures of all of us that were there. It was crazy and loud.
Yeah, it was very loud. I was sitting kind of in the middle of the table, and I could hear people's conversation. If I leaned to the left, I could hear those people. If I leaned to the right, I could hear those people. If I just stood like straight up in the middle and didn't bend over one way or the other, it was kind of like
you couldn't hear anything.
I just sat there and smiled.
I can honestly tell you, I've never been in a place where there were so many people talking that you could not hear a thing.
It was crazy.
It was so loud you could not hear a thing unless you were seriously like yelling in each other's ears. It was crazy. It's like you'd think there'd be a rock
sounds
band
like
or something, but no, it was just writers talking.
We're very loud.
Or yelling.
Yeah.
We're a very loud group of people.
That first night, Thursday, I did not sleep very well. I saw about every hour because I was so excited to start day one of Storymakers. The first class I went to was Howard Taylor's class. And I was kind of wishing you were there with me, Sheila. Because,
oh, really?
Yes, because he talked. His presentation was so geared towards kids.
Oh, wow.
And
like writing for kids?
No, his presentation was called How to Practice an Exercise in Rendering Talent Irrelevant. And he was talking about how there was this study that when kids were told, they took a bunch of fifth graders, I'm assuming 10-year-old-ish kids.
Right, right.
A bunch of fifth graders, and some of them, they told them they were smart. They took a test, and when the results were in, they told them they were smart. The other half, they told those kids they worked really hard on it. And they, instead of saying, oh, you're so smart, they said, you worked really hard on that. And then they offered the kids an opportunity to take a more challenging test, and the majority of the kids who were told you were smart did not take that more challenging test, but the ones who were told you worked hard on it accepted the challenge to take a more difficult test, and they performed better on it too.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought that would have been the opposite.
So it was an eye-opening thing for me. And so basically, what Howard said, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me repeating this because that is his whole purpose behind this presentation, was he said, if you leave here with nothing more than knowing that you need to tell a child you worked hard on this rather than you're smart, then that's his purpose was fulfilled. So
I like that.
From now on, my children are going to hear, wow, you worked really hard on this rather than you're so smart. Because when he's saying this, I'm of course cringing in guilt over there at my table going, I tell my kids they're smart all the time. Because, you're so smart and you're so cute, and whatever. So, yeah, they're going to hear you worked really hard on this because that's the truth. But one of the things he said was, failure does not mean the absence of ability. You just didn't do as good of a job this time.
Uh-huh.
And that, training accumulates. And so the more you practice, the more, when you practice and practice, it just goes to accumulate towards the improvement of your ability, whatever you're doing. So
sounds like it was a great class.
Yeah,
it was. I really liked it. It was a great way for me to kick off the conference.
Oh,
so kind of changed my perspective is when I looked at the rest of the classes I took about improving my ability, kind of set the tone for that. So I appreciated it.
Cool. Yeah, I could see that, doing that.
So did you, what was your first class?
My first class was with Michelle Holmes, was on The Romance.
The Romance, yeah.
And I loved it because my first manuscript that I have, I'm not writing on right now, is a romance, but it gave me a lot of ideas of when I do want to go back and work on it, what I need to do differently as far as the way I'm going into it. You know, I think I kind of looked at it a little bit differently, but she gave us so many good ideas about, you know, writing the romance and how to keep it clean but still appealing. And I mean,
the chemistry.
Exactly. That's what it was, you know, about the chemistry and how to show that without, you know, getting too heated.
Because romance without chemistry isn't realistic to me.
Exactly. Well, it isn't. So, but it was a good class. She does a great job. She's a good teacher.
Did you take either of those classes?
No, I didn't. I only had time for a certain amount of things. I was only there one day.
Well, so I could be very picky on my schedule.
I took Don Carey's class about, goodness, what was the title of that class?
I know there's a cat
There was a cat. I knew there was a cat. It
Culture?
Talked about motivation and flaws and cats.
Right.
And the cat was because if you throw the cat in there, something as simple as saving a cat could make your character look even better.
It's called Culture, Motivation, Flaws, and a Cat. Four things every great character needs.
Yes. So, throw the cat in there.
That sounded like an interesting one.
And there was lots of Star Wars references. There were many Star Wars references in classes I took, so I was happy about that.
Well, that's just because it's great literature, you know. And it doesn't matter that it's a movie.
Well, and he taught the first class on Friday, which was, you know, Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
Yes, of course.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that's why you probably had a lot of them there for that day.
Sure. I bet.
So the next class I took was from Veronica Janksuk.
Was she one of the agents?
Yeah, she was one of the agents that was there. And there's only a few things I pulled from that. That girl can talk fast. I will tell you that right now.
She is fast. I loved her class, but...
Oh, I know. I mean, I was seriously, she was just talking so fast. But the things I got from her class were compact writing, where every word has a purpose. Actions should be tied to emotions to make the reader invested, and start chapters as late as possible and end it as early as possible. It's the first time I'd heard that. I'm sure it's not the first time it's been said, but it was the first time I had heard that, and then I heard it like three more times from other people at the conference. So that was kind of like my thing. That I needed to learn about chapters to start as late as possible and as soon as possible so you're not dragging your chapter out. And then Melanie Jacobson's class. Did any of you take
it? Oh, that was a great class.
Melanie Jacobson's class?
I think we were there together, weren't we?
I don't remember. No, I took mine on Friday. Did you take yours? Yeah, she taught it twice. Mine was on Friday.
I think I took it on Friday.
Really?
I think so.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it was great.
Yeah, it was. It was the one with the newspaper articles and stuff. Anyway, the two most important questions, what if and why, people watching in news stories, great, are just her main ways to get good at, find new ideas, your next idea.
I loved that because you can always pull a story out of everything around you. And, you know, and that's true. Because you should never have that writer's block. And that was the main thing I got out of it, was that you can always look around you. And didn't we even have some exercises in the class that we... Was that one of the classes? There were so many classes.
I can't
remember
now.
Yeah, we did exercises right there of actually, you know, something came up on the screen.
I have my more detailed notes, but this is just my summary. So we may have done that in that class. I'm not sure. But Kirk Shaw's was the one we were in together, the next one.
Yeah, we did take Kirk's.
And his was 10 Ways to Get Your Story Noticed. And one of the...
That
was a lot of fun. I want that sample sentence that when he talked about writing great openers.
Right.
And he had us do that practice. And that one guy who did the one about the pioneer. Your story where the pioneers are disappearing. I thought mine was kind of interesting, but that guy's was awesome.
It sounded like he worked on it for years.
And we had like 30 seconds or something to work on it, and I thought, man, I really need to work on this. I am not good at suddenly, and like, you know, coming up with openers like that.
When the instructor would say, okay, list 10 things about your character, I couldn't do it. So she says, obviously, if you cannot, this was Jeanette Ralston, if you can't think of 10 things that quick, obviously you don't know your character that well. Mm-hmm.
I was happy because by that point, I was able to, we took that class on Saturday, and by that point, I chose one of my characters that I'm working with right now. And
you took Jeanette's on Saturday?
Yeah, okay. I took that with her, the YA
okay.
Class, and And that's a great class. By that point, I had been thinking enough about my character ever since Thursday that I was able to just quickly list.
See, and maybe that was my disadvantage of not going Friday is, you know, when they say, oh, list some things about your character, you know, and
I don't know,
you know.
Well, that's how it was my very first story makers on the very first day. And they start talking about your characters and you know, do they have any likes or dislikes or, you know, what color. And I at that time, I didn't know my characters like I do now, which I realized I still don't know my characters enough. And I realized today, I don't know my antagonist. I don't even know him very well. And you can't, without a good antagonist, you can't have a good story.
Yeah, that was another thing that was really stressful, especially in Jeanette's.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, the other thing that I learned, because in the manuscript I'm working on right now, I really don't have a person as an antagonist, but mm-hmm. it is something that is happening to each of the characters.
Right.
Their problem that's the antagonist. And I learned that, okay, that's because I kept thinking, I need to pull in an antagonist somewhere. But then someone said, no, each of my characters have a problem that they're dealing with in their lives, and that's the antagonist in the story.
See, I just listened to the Appendix podcast because I'm catching up. I know they haven't recorded for a few months, but I had a couple that I hadn't listened to. So I went and listened to them. And Sarah was just talking about how in Persuasion, the antagonist is not a person. And Persuasion is actually the situation where the antagonist to her is forgiveness from Captain Wentworth. And if she doesn't get it, then, but that's her. It's not necessarily a person or even a setting like it can be. It was a situation. And so I just love how your antagonist can be, you know, all these things.
When you first start writing, you don't think about that because in your mind you're always thinking, okay.
Good guy, bad guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what you're always thinking. And it's always an awakening as you start getting all these little bits and pieces that helps you in writing your story. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, a couple other things I got from Kirk's class was dialogue. When he says to strip away the tags and the narration and see if your dialogue can stand on its own, I thought, yeah, no, I don't think mine can yet. So that's something that I'm going to try and remember as I go through my manuscript. And also that plays are a great way to study dialogue and voice. So I'm going to pay attention more because dialogue is important. Voice is important. If you don't have your voice, I mean, how many times have you read a book and thought, this author has a great voice?
True.
And I want to increase that. True. So. Is that pretty much what you got out of Kirk's
class? Oh, definitely. There were some other ideas too, but it's just like, I loved what you're saying. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely fantastic.
But the dialogue thing really stood out to me. Louisa Perkins and Julie Wright are like very funny,
fun
people.
Yes.
And I went to this class because in July I want to have my own personal NaNoWriMo.
Oh.
So theirs was one author, one month, one book, Surviving NaNo and Learning to Make Writing Time Count While Turning in Your Best Work. That is a very long presentation title. But mainly the stuff that was good for me to know now in May versus in July when I'm trying to make this happen is Lisa likened it to a Couch to 5K program, which she used to get to running. You know, you can't just go from not writing or writing a little to writing 1,666 words a day or however much it is. So she said you need to work up your writing habit to be, you know, increase your word count every day to become used to writing that many words in a day and prepare your family and home ahead of time. And,
that's a good idea too.
Give yourself incentives, things like that. So I have some things to plan for.
That too. Well, mm-hmm, she did. About incentives and things like that.
Well, she went into even a little bit more detail mm-hmm. about that, but they just kind of said, you know, give yourself little goals and incentives.
That's good.
And then maybe have an accountability partner. I saw Louisa and Annette Lyon. They were in the same, that class, you know, Annette was in the class and they started talking about accountability partners. And I thought, I need one of those. It's working for me with working out. So
that's great.
That's good.
That's awesome.
And then Kevin J. Anderson's tips, he went through, there was 11 tips, but the one thing that he said that really stood out to me right now was dare to be bad at first. Because no one publishes a perfect...
That's what Kirsten White said, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And he said no one publishes a perfect 80% complete novel. So it's more important to complete it.
That's my goal this year.
Then was it Kirsten or Becca?
That said that? I don't know.
They didn't say, obviously, word for word, but they said to finish.
Well, let's talk
about... And don't edit as you go.
Yeah, and that's the hardest thing for me, being a reviewer and stuff. I edit as I go.
I have to really get over that. Yeah. Mm-hmm,
you know, and split my mind that way. Because they said it's very left brain, right brain, and you have to really separate. You know, editing is whichever one, the one brain is. And then writing is the other side. Left brain is creativity, right?
Exactly.
So writing is left brain and editing is right brain. And you can't make them both work at first or at the same time, but I try. Mm. I don't mean to. It just happens. So let's move on to Becca's class.
I love Becca's class. Yeah, Mindy, really good. I hated her class so much.
So Mindy, I'm curious. You know that Sheila and I have our little works in progress. So how did Becca's class on getting out... getting over the reasons you can't write. How did that affect you?
Well, since I'm not currently working on anything right now, I think it helped that it's just to have a goal to start somehow, to find your certain time, to find, you know, you don't need your writer's cave. I thought mm-hmm. that was cute when the one girl said, I have one.
And we're all like,
I know everyone.
Whatever. So to have a specific goal, like mornings, for example, mornings, it depends on the day, would work best for me because that's kind of nighttime. I enjoy my nighttime time too much where I'm reading or where I'm relaxing from the day. So I think mm-hmm. morning would be good before I start working, before I start doing whatever I need to do.
Well, and she did talk about how she feels that whatever she does first thing in the morning, she does best.
Mm-hmm. And I related to that, I think.
That rang true for me, so...
I think that's it, really. Just to have a goal, to just set, to maybe submit a first chapter. Like, to look at the big picture of next year mm-hmm. is to have a long-range goal. I honestly don't think I would have enough to submit for boot camp, maybe, but at least to maybe do just first chapter.
Yeah, I think
even though
should.
That's kind of the same thing.
A lot of it is.
It is. Well, the first chapter is 3,000 words.
Yeah, well,
and
15
pages
double-spaced.
Yeah, 15 pages is, that's more than...
That's more than first chapter.
That's more than 3,000
words. That'd be about, what, three-ish?
Well, 15 pages, I think 15 pages would be probably closer to 10. No.
Well, not
no, six, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say it was more than six.
I don't know. Depends on your words, I guess. If you use lots of long words, maybe
well,
less.
You know but... how smart I am.
Verbose.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I couldn't even say agnostic during the practice.
I like that.
Okay, what about you, Sheila? You were in that class, too.
Oh, definitely. You know, the thing that I got from it is something that I experienced the other morning. You know, just to write when inspiration hits you too. Because I woke up in the middle, it was probably 4 o'clock in the morning, and all of a sudden, Jesse, one of my characters, was talking to me. And I'm laying there in bed going, I need to go back to sleep. I'll get up in an hour and a half. But I had to write down what she was telling me. So I got up, I pulled out my computer, and it was for my first chapter, and it's stuff that I knew I needed to do, and it just added so much to the beginning of my story, and I typed it all up, and then I went back to bed.
That's awesome.
It was such a good feeling. It was like 400 words later, I was fine.
Wow.
I got it out of my head. She was done talking to me, and I thought, you really do have to listen to your characters. Mm-hmm. When they're ready to tell you something, you need to get it down. Because
wow.
I thought,
cool.
oh, I remember
it was
later,
cool.
but I knew I wouldn't.
Do you remember when we used to listen to authors say that and be like, I don't really understand what that
Didn't
would be
I,
like,
yeah,
how
I
would
don't
that,
know what
and
that
then
feels like, yeah.
you will.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing.
You can't
I
help
think,
it.
I'm lucky I have Siri on my phone sometimes.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when I'm in the car or when I'm by my, like, I go, okay, ding, ding, you know, and
uh-huh.
then I just quickly write something down because that, obviously I can't text while
Do
I
you
drive.
Just tell her make a note or something? Like, how do you get her to make
well,
a note? Because I've used it for lots of other things, but...
I make sure I'm at a light, and then I quickly pull up my notes, and then hit my button. So, sometimes I have to wait for a stopping point.
I always have to wait for a stop sign. Although, the nice thing is if you just hold it down, you know, you don't have to
oh,
actually
exactly.
see. You can just hold it down. And,
yes.
And,
or I can
yeah.
send a text to myself.
I think Siri is awesome, but that's a total side note.
Yeah.
Okay, so, what about... Okay, my next class I went to, I actually ditched the ninth breakout session because I was looking for my water bottle.
Oh, that was so sad.
That I found at Target, they sell them for $25.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
So, whoever took my new, I beloved water, Camelback water bottle that you can get at Target for $25. Yeah, the universe is coming after you, just so you know. Okay, so I was thirsty all Saturday night.
I'm sure you were.
Anyway, so the next class I took was the research class from Sarah Eden. And the only other classes I've taken from her have been her humor ones.
Right.
And so it was really, of course, there was a little bit of that interjected in there. And, of course, her poor little voice from all the construction dust. But there were a few things I learned about research that I didn't know. And, of course, she majored in research or has a degree in research. So she's the research guru.
That's neat.
Yeah, but the things that the main thing was a strength of source. I learned about, you know, first the strength of the source you're using. And also when it's important to have exact research, and that's like historical fiction and medical thrillers and things like that, where it needs to be very exact. Just things like that, and how to contact professionals, research people, and things like that. So her class was really good, but the most interesting one came after that for me.
What was it?
And it was when I was looking forward to the whole conference, and wouldn't you know, it was the last session. It was John Brown's The Lessons You Learn from Hunger Games.
You'll have to tell us about that one.
I will. I wrote the lessons down, but we won't cover them all here. But
we could have a whole podcast.
Just the whole, I mean, this man is passionate about
Hunger Games?
Yes, about why it works.
Oh, okay.
For him, you know, because he kind of got on this little quest when he went to podcast with the Writing Excuses team with Dan and Dan Wells, Brandon Sanderson, and Howard Taylor. And Brandon and Dan had said, you know, he said how much he loved the Hunger Games, and Dan and Brandon were like, I didn't like it. I didn't get past the first chapter. It's been there, done that kind of thing.
Oh my heavens, really?
And John was just shocked. And so he kind of, we used that as a launching pad to go into depth and find out why Hunger Games sold so well, why it spoke to so many people, why it succeeded the way it did when people like Dan and Brandon were saying, it's been there, done that. Why, if it's been there, done that, why did it work still?
Yeah, it still works.
Exactly.
You know,
I love you, Dan and Brandon, but...
There were several people who... You know, and it was all about... The main thing was about the sympathy for Katniss. You know, it's getting the reader involved. You're like, you know, all these bad things are kind of lining up. And you show she's a good person, and then you evoke the reader's sympathy for her and get them to fight for her and rally around her, and then you've brought them into the story and sold them.
Wow.
And so I thought, that's the trick. It really is. When people are reading for characters, when you hear someone say, I read for the characters, or if the characters aren't, if there's not good characterization, it's not as good of a story, it doesn't pull you in.
That's what I always...
It is about invoking the emotion, rallying them around the characters.
That
and
is awesome.
And he, so we'll talk about that, you know,
definitely.
More in depth off air, but that was one of the... So if you guys have a chance to take that lesson, that class in another conference, like maybe Book Academy or something like that from John Brown next year even.
Yeah.
I would, just because it's pretty interesting and it's fun to watch him get all caught up in it.
Oh, I bet. It's exciting to watch him get his soul.
Very passionate. Yes. Very passionate. And his book was all like marked up and post-it noted and all this stuff.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. I really wish I could have snagged him after
it's
it.
Like some of the scriptures. There you go.
His own little writing Bible and something like that. Yeah. I don't know. But anyway, so I'm done.
Well, my class, I think, that meant the most to me, and just because after I came out of boot camp, I realized I didn't know my characters that well. I have these three girls that are in my story, and the whole story centers around these three protagonists, these high school sophomores. And I realized I don't know my characters that well. So when I went to Karen Hoover's class, she taught us all about getting to know our characters in depth. She showed us her character worksheets and how much work she goes into before writing the story of how well you know these characters up and down, back and forth.
I don't see how you could write a story.
Well,
sit down and write something without knowing.
You know, Mindy, I totally thought that too because it was like, wow, that, and I knew that this is what my story needed. And so now I know this is what I'm going to be doing in the next month and a half, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping I can do that.
The whole point, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
Finish your thought.
Well, there's just these worksheets where you write down everything about them, internal, external. You find, and a lot of authors do this, they go through and they find pictures that represent what their character looks like. Rebecca Talley does this also.
And Michelle Ashman Bell does too.
I know a lot of them do.
I did the same thing with my main character.
And so I haven't done that yet. And so I need to look for my pictures of my characters. And then I need to... I know there's a lot of them that do, but Karen is offering her notes to anyone. You know, if you email Karen Hoover I don't know her email address right off the bat. We'll have to maybe post
it. I think it's Karen at KarenEHoover.com or something like that. Don't forget the E, she says. It's like Karen at KarenEHoover. I'm sure that if you Googled her and found her blog or something, you could get a hold of her.
But in her notes will be her character worksheets, where you can download those and just start typing away, getting to know your characters. And I really felt so empowered that, you know what, this is the ticket to me really getting my novel moving in the direction that I wanted to.
The whole point of knowing your character so well is really discovering their motivation and what drives them. If we don't really know their motivation and what drives them. And I think you can write a story without knowing your character as well as you might for a little while, but you reach a point, and I've reached that point, and I'm only 3 chapters in, where I know my main guy pretty well, but the girl, she needs some fleshing out, you know, some fleshing out, and the readers aren't really sympathizing with her or getting with her yet. So, you know, but the thing is, like, when you can write to a certain point, but after that, you really do need to know your characters. Plus, you learn about your characters as you write too. I've noticed.
That's true. It's very kind true. Of.
Sometimes it's discovery. In you know, you have your outline and you have your goal, but sometimes you learn things as you go.
Right, and you know, and I also realized that my novel is really going to be a character-based, character-driven. Mm-hmm. That's totally character-driven.
Well, it's contemporary.
So, it is. It's a YA contemporary, and so that was. I mean, it really. I mean, that's still in my mind. That was the thing that really meant the most to me, I think. I mean, I loved all the classes, but Karen's class, it was just like, ding, 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 all these, you know, lights going off in my mind, just going, this is what I need to do.
I'm so excited to read your book.
Oh, I'm excited to have you guys read it. Yeah, but I just, like I said, I have to really work hard on the character development the next month or so. Mm-hmm.
Well, we won't bite.
Nope.
I know.
And I'm gonna make my adjustments that the workshop and also the first chapter people told me about, and I'm gonna make those changes and send it over too, because really I think back and I think, why did I not even realize that that's what would happen? But
that's what the critiquing and a critique group or, you know, any of this is all about, you know, just to give those ideas that you, so as we sat there at boot camp, it was the same thing. It was like, oh yeah. Why didn't I think about that? Oh, that's a great idea. And, you know, if you're in a positive group or, like, everyone was so positive at my table at boot camp, that you didn't feel threatened, that you just felt encouraged.
Well, that's good.
And that is such a fabulous feeling.
And any of the people who taught these presentations, I'm sure, and maybe not so much the national authors, I'm not sure how open they would be to this, but I know that within the LDS community and the more locally published authors
put
are
notes on her blog.
Mm-hmm.
For
even Veronica put her stuff on there.
Wow.
Veronica
did she really?
something.com/storymakers12. I don't know how you say her last name. It's a mess. But anyway, she has her stuff up there too. But a lot of them, if you contact these authors, they're more than willing to share their presentations.
Absolutely.
So.
Do you think it would be okay if we maybe did a post with some of these links for our listeners? Maybe we could do that.
Yeah, maybe we'll follow up with some of the authors and find out if they're okay with posting links or stuff for their presentations. So.
I think that would be great.
If they have any requirements.
Have their permission, I'm sure.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily post their stuff for them, but link to where they have it.
Exactly.
I think that would be a good idea. So, okay, it's been kind of fun getting together again and talking about our little Storymakers weekend and podcasting again. So, Mindy, this is what, number 3 for you?
2.
Oh, my.
Did you record Krista? Because I wasn't there for that one.
Yeah.
We did record with Krista.
Well, I wanted to say what I learned the most out of it.
I thought you did already.
You just said your first class. But my favorite class.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to talk about Becca.
Oh, you know, I did talk about Becca. I love Becca.
Uh-huh.
But I shouldn't say favorite because I only took 6 classes, so I wasn't able to determine a favorite. But I think Molly O'Neill, she's a editor.
Or agent?
I think she's an editor.
Okay. Maybe they're both. I don't know.
Don't know. Because she works for Harper Teen.
Okay.
And she talked about research, and she... It was amazing. She gave us a paper, which was really helpful, and she put a stick figure on it, and the heart of your story, the eyes of your story, the who, so the who are the eyes, the what are the hands and feet, the how is the voice, style, point of view, the why, it gives a character emotional I can't read my notes. Resonance?
Yes.
Internal plot, character plot. But what I loved the most is she had a big page of how to do research, just using your local library to go in there and see, okay, I want to see how Cedar City was in 1940, like the current, like how much gas was, or what school districts would do for schooling, how much money a community spends on school, just so you can tell what isn't important for a town. And just little things that I honestly don't think I would have thought of.
That's so cool.
Yeah, she had some great ideas. And she's also edited a couple of my favorite authors, so like national authors. Mm-hmm. So it was really neat to see her class was packed.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
In the very back, without a desk.
So what else, what other classes did you take?
I just took her, and Kirsten White's was really good. Hers was about pacing. And it was really funny that she taught a class on pacing because of how flippin' fast she talked. She's like, oh, I just finished an hour presentation in a half hour. I'm like, I can tell. But she talked about pacing and how, I think we talked about this before, is don't lose the joy of drafting your first, second, whatever novel. Don't edit yourself to death. Write it, finish it, and be done.
I know.
And I think, as book reviewers, I think that would be tough.
It just seemed like it was totally hammered in my head this weekend, too.
I agree.
It was that and the chapter thing.
Just, but I need it. Yeah. I need that because I do that way too often. So thank you for mentioning that again.
Oh, and with the dialogue tags that we talked about, I just found my notes. It was, don't throw in many different dialogue tags. If you can take it out completely, that's good, too.
Great.
So in our dialogue class, you know, there was some conflicting answers.
There were, weren't there?
So it was interesting. But that's it.
I think that just goes to prove there isn't one set fast.
You're right, and I think
rule.
That's a good thing to remember, is that you don't need, just because so-and-so said this, mm-hmm. okay, well, that's what I'm following and that's what I'm doing.
Very
that isn't necessarily.
But they do say that you have to understand the rules in order to break them correctly.
Absolutely.
I love that.
So
that's very good.
Good.
Once we understand what the rules are, then when the time comes, and if you need to, you know how to break them and how to break them well. And right now I'm such a newbie.
Right now nothing's happening.
I'm not going to break anything if I can help it right now, because I need all the help I can get.
Oh, I can too.
Okay. Well, that was my summer.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. No,
no, you're fine.
I thought when you said I just want to talk about Becca, like the one thing,
yeah.
I thought I misunderstood. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
Well, I'm glad you got to share those notes with us. And that's the thing about having three of us. We can kind of divide and conquer a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that anyone who's listening is actually inspired to attend writers' conferences wherever you're located out here in the West. We have several good ones.
Or no matter where you are in your writing.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Journey.
Yeah, Mindy hasn't even started her journey yet. Sheila and I are,
I have my idea,
you know,
and
kind of
some
stepping
notes,
in.
But that's pretty much it.
Well, I guess technically you've started, but what I mean is you haven't necessarily, you know, committed to a work in progress yet.
Right.
But Sheila and I have just barely.
Yeah,
and Sheila's actually on her, I'm still working on my very first work in progress I ever started, and Sheila's on like her second or third or something.
I'm just on my second one. And second. I have a few people that were mad that I abandoned my first one so quickly, but it was just like, it was not going anywhere. So I thought, you know what? I'll revisit it later.
I took a couple notes in a couple different classes and
yeah.
said you should have multiple projects going. So if one is boring you and one is weighing you down, you can switch to the other one for a bit and get the juices flowing again.
That is awesome.
So you are not necessarily breaking any rules.
Very good. I know.
Or else if you are, you're breaking it correctly.
Well, excellent. I'm glad to know it was a good thing.
Well, thank you. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. Thanks for coming over and podcasting with me, ladies. Thanks for joining us for Season 6, Episode 2 of the LDS Women's Book Review Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.